Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Catherine Resendez, and you're listening to The Sword and Shield Show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to start the show tonight with a Hebrew verse, a verse from the book of Hebrews, from the Bible, chapter 4, verse 16. This is one of my favorite verses, and since this show is all about the love, the peace, and the joy of Jesus Christ and salvation, I'd like to read this to you. It is, again, one of my favorite verses. I hope if you have a Bible that you follow along with the reading of the verses. Later, I'll be reading a gospel message from chapter 10 in Matthew. This one in Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, some versions will say, "Come boldly to the throne of grace," meaning the same thing, of course. It doesn't change the meaning. But I'm happy to be broadcasting tonight, and I hope people will listen in, tell family and friends about the show, and join us every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, as I said, I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 10 tonight. And I hope when we come to that segment of the show, that if you have a Bible, you'll read along with us. If not, I invite you to listen anyway. I'm going to have a guest tonight named Jonathan Mestas. He's a young evangelist, and he's working on staff, actually, with the California School Project. He's with the National School Project. And we'll have a very interesting talk with him later in the show. So now, I'd like to mention that I heard part of President's message at the Freedom Celebration on Independence Day. I heard him say that today Christianity is being chipped away at, and I believe he said, I'm not quoting, of course, but the gist of what I heard him say was, that he's not going to put up with it. He's not going to allow it. And he agrees with those of us who are followers of Christ that we should have the freedom to pray and to preach what is in our hearts. We'll be talking somewhat about that tonight with Jonathan, about prayer in the schools. And I call tonight's episode of the show Rebirth in consideration of that, because we want to talk about our freedoms as followers of Christ, as Christians, and having the right to pray. We'd like to see prayer and Bible study brought back into the schools. There are some Bible clubs, just as other religious organizations or denominations may have clubs, religious clubs on campuses, but our Christian faith is not really a denomination. It's not about belonging to one particular denomination or church even. Christianity is about a relationship with our Lord Christ Jesus, whom we believe is the one and only true living God. So we want to talk about prayer and how we raise our children and how the Lord is going to hold us responsible. Those of us who are parents and grandparents, we're going to be held responsible for how we teach our children and how we raise them up. He tells us that we should be disciplers. We need to disciple our children and grandchildren also, teaching them about the Lord, who he is and what he does for us. Jesus came to make disciples, to teach people how to teach others, so that as many people who care to listen will learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus wants everyone to be saved, but each of us must make our own choice. Either we choose to follow Christ, or we choose to follow Satan. According to the Bible, there is no middle ground. So anyway, tonight I'm going to be talking about discipleship, how Jesus chose his apostles. He discipled them to disciple others. And he calls all of us, all of his followers, to teach others about him. Jonathan, my guest tonight, is out in the world traveling to schools with the ministry, which he has now become a staff member of, doing exactly what the Lord called us to do, telling others about Christ up front and personal. He started out by going out to visit with people in the Los Angeles and Hollywood area, he and friends, because they felt called to go and share Christ with other people. And so this is very important work that he's doing. And even though everyone is not called to be an evangelist, the Lord has commissioned all of us to tell others about him so that we can make our choices. Each and every one of us needs to make a personal choice whether we want to follow Jesus Christ, as I said. And in that we find freedom. Our President Trump was talking about our freedom on the 4th of July, which is our Independence Day. And I wish I had heard all of his speech, but as I said, I only heard a part of it, and I was very happy with what I heard. I would like to get a copy of that, and if any of you are interested, I did hear that there is possibly still a way to get one of those copies, a CD of that message. And if I have information on that in the future, I'll share it with you. But I believe Pastor Robert Jeffress, whose choir was representing his church during the Freedom Celebration, I believe they have copies of that. I don't know if they're still available. But you might try looking up Pastor Rob Jeffress's ministry and find out if they have copies available. So anyway, while we're waiting for my guest to call in just a little while, I'd like to share a few scripture verses with you and see if any of these might encourage you or inspire you. Because God calls each and every one of us to serve him. He has given each and every one of us, once we receive him, he gives us special gifts to be used to serve him. Many times we don't know what those are, but other people can see those in us. They can see our character, our attributes. They can see the things that we are good at in life. And it's our responsibility to discover the gifts that the Lord has given us so that we can use them in serving him by serving others. And we can find freedom in that, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that we should put others first, but we should put no one before God. He wants first place, first priority in our life. And he tells us that those of us who are always setting ourselves above others will be last. He says the first shall be last. Those who are out to place themselves in positions of authority or favor above others, who do not care to serve as Jesus served, that they will be last. So we need to be careful about that, and that is something I've been guilty of all of my life, but I can't pretend otherwise. I have always been very self-conscious. I have always been concerned about the things that I want and need. And for the longest time, I didn't see anything wrong with that. Now I realize that was selfish and prideful and arrogant, and the Lord says that he hates pride and arrogance. He hates pride and arrogance. And he wants us to be in service to him. He uses people to help other people. And so he wants us to help others, to show the love of Christ, which is not always easy to do. And he wants us to forgive, because there is also freedom in forgiving. So, with that said, I'd like to share some of these scriptures, some of these scripture verses that can make us feel like slaves because we're bound up in worry, concerned about so many things that we don't need to worry about. The Lord tells us that we shouldn't be worried about so many things. And one of the reasons that we worry is because we are focusing on the wrong things. And we have, or we practice what's called distorted thinking. And God wants us to trust Him. He tells us in Matthew 7, 9 through 11 about this. It says, trusting God to save you, but not trusting Him to meet your everyday needs. God already knows what we need. But He wants us to come to Him and ask Him for what we need. Because He wants to be in communication with us. He wants to have relationship with us. And again, Christianity is not about belonging to a particular church or denomination, but rather it is about being in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk more about that when we introduce my guest tonight, Jonathan Mestas. Another thing I want to mention is about illusory control, thinking that by mentally arranging the future events that we can control the outcome, which of course we can never do. Only God knows the future and only He can control it. And we see that in Proverbs 29:25. So whenever we turn to the Lord and acknowledge the fact that we cannot control our lives, that we cannot live the Christian life on our own. When we surrender all of our problems and worries and cares to the Lord, then He takes over and does what He knows we need. He gives us what we need because He wants what is best for us, because He is our loving Heavenly Father. And so now, hello there, Jonathan. Can you hear me, Jonathan?
Fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Welcome to
Perfect.
The Sword and Shield Show. Thank you for being my guest tonight.
Oh, it's a blessing to be your guest, Catherine. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And you're right on time. I was just talking about how we can find freedom in Christ, freedom from our worries and our cares when we give them over to the Lord. And surrendering to Him and trusting Him to take care of things, we find a certain amount of freedom in that. And I mentioned that we're going to talk about prayer in the schools, praying for a rebirth in a sense, which is why I titled tonight's episode Rebirth, because we want to pray for our nation, for our children, not just our children, but for all the children of the world who are going to be ruling and running the countries, not just the United States, but every nation in the world. Because we're all growing older from the day we are born. Those children are going to take over in the future. And we need to teach them what they need to do and how they need to do it. We need to teach them God's ways. As followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach them about the Lord, to teach them how to love the Lord and serve Him, and we find freedom in that because He is our Creator and He is in control. And I mentioned also that I heard part of the President Trump's speech about freedom on Independence Day, and I did hear him mention, basically, that today Christianity is being chipped away at, and he's not going to stand for it. He's not going to allow it. So he agrees with us as followers of Christ, as Christians, that we should be able to pray and preach what is in our hearts. And he'd like to see prayer and Bible study back in the schools again. I believe he did say that. And so now, welcoming you to the show, I'd like to invite you, Jonathan, to give us just a brief testimony, either as much or as little as you would like to share with me and whoever else might be listening. I'd like to know first. How did you come to know the Lord?
Yes. Well, it all started in 2005, November 11, 2005. I would say that is when I had my experience where I would say I was born again. But even earlier before that, I had parents who both were Christian, and so I grew up in a Christian home. Some of my earliest memories, I remember my parents having Bible studies at the house. I was probably maybe around 5 years old, and I remember that very distinctly. I remember going to church, and even in junior high, I remember I was very involved in the youth group, and even going to my parents and asking them that I wanted to receive the Lord into my heart. But when I got into high school, I think at that moment, I began to think independently, and God no longer became relevant to me. I started to drink when I was a sophomore. So I started to drink, and then I started smoking weed. And by the time I hit my senior year of high school, I was picking up a few friends, and in exchange for me picking them up, we would smoke weed every day before class, and then I would go to class high. And I really didn't care too much about the direction my parents wanted me to go in. I really didn't care about my future. The only thing that really mattered to me was having a good time, hanging out with my friends, going to parties during the weekend, and just kind of living that lifestyle. I also was in a lot of very destructive relationships with different girls that I've met through high school, and that ended up leaving me heartbroken because a lot of these relationships didn't really end up working out. And so by the time I graduated, I started just feeling really depressed and lost. But I had an older brother who he was doing yoga, and he invited me to come. And so I would go very often, faithfully, 2 to 3 times a day to this yoga studio in Fullerton and go and do yoga. And I got very much into yoga and Buddhism and just the origins of Buddhism and that it came from India. And so I started to go on this spiritual journey where I wanted to discover what truth was. And before I graduated, I took a philosophy class. And in that philosophy class, I had a teacher who was Christian. And he was talking about a concept called absolute truth. And he said that not everything can be true and exists at the same time. There has to be one truth. And so that got me to start thinking about who is God and what is my purpose here on this earth? What am I here for? And so I would spend just... I remember, okay, this may sound kind of weird, but I remember going into my room and smoking weed and turning on meditation music and just meditating and trying to free my mind and trying to connect to whatever this so-called spiritual realm was. But little did I know that that path started to lead me down this really dark path where I just felt this almost was like darkness of oppression. Just things just started to become heavier, and I started to get more depressed and more confused. And the yoga and the meditation, it wasn't really helping. And I remember going with my friends. They invited me to a rave out in San Bernardino. This was back in 2005. And so I went to this rave in San Bernardino, and I started doing ecstasy. And I just remember that I felt like my mind was slowly slipping away from reality. And I got very terrified. I got scared. I thought I was going to end up in some sort of institution to be institutionalized because of just the thoughts that I was having. And I remember one night I cried out to God and I said, God, I don't know who you are, whoever you are, if you're the God of Buddhism, if you're the God of Islam, if you are the God of Hinduism, I really don't know. But I want to know who you are. And in fact, Christianity was the last thing that I was searching for. And I'll never forget that night, November 11, 2005. I was at my friend's house, and I got woken up by an earthquake. And I looked up, and I felt the presence of God there in the room. And almost instantly, I had a flashback of when I was a young boy in junior high. I was probably in sixth grade, alone in my room, and my dad had given me a Bible called the Teen Study Bible. And I remember very distinctly, I opened up to a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, and it says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And I remember reading that verse, and I said, and I remember saying to God at a very young age, "Jesus, if you are real, I want to know you." And then fast forward, November 11, 2005, 18-year-old boy, on drugs, scared, losing his mind, and God reminded me of that moment. He said, "Jesus is the one that you've been searching for." And I remember the next day I went home and I told my parents, and they could not believe me. But little did I know that the devil was trying to destroy my life the following morning, because I went out with my friends the next day to the Chino skate park, and I ended up smoking some weed that was laced with, I believe, was laced with PCP, and I really lost it big time. And I just remember just thinking that I could fly, and I was about to climb up this really tall fence and jump off. And the Lord is telling me, "You are not in your right mind. You need to call your parents, and you need to tell them everything." And so I remember calling my parents, and I said, "Mom and Dad, I don't know what's going on, but I'm really scared." And I went to two rehab programs, Narcotics Anonymous and Marijuana Anonymous, through Kaiser Hospital in Bellflower, California. And I remember being there and being a part of that program and seeing adults from ages of 30 to 40 to 50 there, addicted to narcotics, addicted to marijuana, and just seeing how that destroyed their life. And I had a good friend who was also a part of the same circle in high school, same circle of friends that was doing drugs, and he found out that I had gone to rehab, that I had basically done that, and he had reached out to me, and he said, "Hey, I want to let you know that I also believe in God, and I'm here for you." Well, I really didn't trust him, because at the time he was a very shady person. But a year later, I ran into him, and he was going to a church in Buena Park. It was called Living Word Foursquare in Buena Park. And I remember he was a totally different person. And I said, "Wow, you know, please tell me about your experience. You said you had an encounter with God. I'm interested to hear." And he said that he was woken up in a dream, and in his dream, the Holy Spirit consumed him in this holy fire, and he woke up, and he just felt convicted for all the sins that he was doing, and he just instantly knew that he needed to go to church. And then he ended up becoming a Christian. He gave his life over to Jesus. So keep in mind, I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus, but I still don't really know who is this Jesus. I had totally forgotten everything that all the things that it said in the Bible about who Jesus was. And so he invited me to go to church, and I remember I was faced with the decision. I believed in Jesus, but now I had to take the second step of making him my Lord and Savior and actually believing in him unto salvation. And so what I had to do is I remember being facing that I needed to repent. I needed to turn away from my sins. I needed to turn away from the drugs. I needed to turn away from those destructive relationships. But some of those things still had a hold on me. Even though they caused so much pain and destruction, I had to let them go. And I took that step. I was very afraid, but my friend said, you know what? The blessings that Jesus has for you, if you just turn away from your sin, you cannot even imagine what those blessings are. And so I by faith, I really didn't know if it was going to work out, but I was like, you know what, Jesus, you have radically transformed me through this experience, and I don't really want to turn away from these things, but I know you have the best plan for me. And so I did it by faith.
And so that's when you began to follow the Lord.
Yes, that's when I began to follow
that's
the
when
Lord.
You committed.
I was around. Yes, that's when I committed.
That's an amazing story, Jonathan. And I didn't know you were going to go into such detail, and I didn't expect it. But I just know that there's someone out there who needed to hear what you were saying. So I didn't want to interrupt you. Thank you for sharing that. It's very personal. Very personal experiences.
You're welcome.
And I want to address the fact that when you were addicted to drugs and alcohol, you were actually a slave to those things. So you had no freedom, right?
That's correct.
Is
no
that
freedom
right?
whatsoever.
And all of those people whom you encountered in those programs in the hospital, they were in the same situation. They were addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so they were slaves to those substances because they had no control. They had no self-control. They were out of control. The drugs and alcohol were controlling them. But once you had this experience and came to know the Lord, once you surrendered, as we say, your will, once you gave your will over to the Lord, you found relief. Didn't you find freedom in Christ once you committed to follow Him, to receive Him as Savior?
Absolutely. There was a freedom of guilt. There was a freedom of shame that I no longer had to be ashamed. And there was almost a peace that was transplanted within my heart and within my mind. And Jesus was letting me know through His Spirit and through the Word of God that everything was going to be okay, that He was going to see me through all the way to the end, that my mind would be restored, that my integrity would be restored, and that my reputation would be restored. And I believe that when I came to Jesus, that He healed my mind. And I no longer had those thoughts where I was out of touch with reality because of the drugs that I was doing.
I'm sure all of those people felt the same way you did. I wonder if any of them found the peace and the freedom that you found once you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we should pray not only for the intentions we had originally about praying on the show for our country, asking the Lord to grant us grace and mercy, to forgive us for our sins and heal our land, to pray for our children, not only our own children and nieces and nephews, grandchildren, but to pray for everyone else's children, because they are the future of this country. They are the future of the world. They are going to be in charge. And the Lord tells us in the Bible, we need to train them up in the way that they should go according to their gifts and talents, their abilities that the Lord gives to each one of us. And once we receive Christ Jesus as our Savior, the Bible tells us, and the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit gives each of us gifts, one or more spiritual gifts. And the purpose for that is to use them. And it says, to edify the body, meaning the body of Christ, the church, other people. We're to share those gifts with other people, to glorify God. And those gifts can be gifts of teaching, administration, gifts of service, helping others, the gift of exhortation, encouraging others. And so coming back to freedom, leaving our old way of life where we've been slaves to our sin, slaves to addictions, whatever they are, whether it was drugs or alcohol or overeating, gluttony, so many other things that we can become enslaved to, become addicted to. And we just lose all our sense of self. And you said you realized you were losing your mind. You were afraid that you were losing your mind and would be institutionalized. But Jesus came to your rescue. And he tells us that he's always there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we call on him, when we call on the name of Jesus, and it doesn't just mean saying Jesus and we're saved, but when we call on the name of Jesus, repent of our sins and confess them and ask Jesus to come into our life, to come into our heart, we turn away from our sins and agree to follow him, agree to allow him to live out the Christian life through us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us do all things, because he says that he enables us. He's already given us everything we need for life and godliness, meaning that he's given us gifts, skills, and talents to do anything and everything that he calls us to do. And in fact, we are not the ones who are going to do these things, because we can't do them on our own. It is the Holy Spirit of God living through us who does the acts that we are supposed to do for God, the service, the good deeds that we're supposed to do for God. Not that doing good deeds saves us, because we know that we're saved by grace through faith, right? We're saved by the grace of God through our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we need to tell other people about all of this, the gospel message, so that they can be saved, and let them know that it's free. Salvation is free, right? It's a gift from God. But we have to receive it. We have a choice. And so many people do not yet know that it's a free gift. All they need to do is receive it, confess their sins to the Lord, to Christ Jesus, repent of those sins, which means to turn away from the sins and follow Christ. And of course, that's not easy, and you and I both know it's very difficult, but it should be easy. But because we want our own way and we're stubborn and we're sinful human beings, because that's the normal way, the natural man is sinful. But when we are willing to commit to the Lord and give our lives over to him, then we find freedom in him. And so now I'd like to come back to teaching and discipling the children, letting them know that they can have freedom in Christ. I'd like you to tell us a little about what your ministry is, about the work that you are doing now, Jonathan, with the National School Project. Will you describe that to us, what you're doing and how you're helping students to find freedom?
Absolutely. The National School Project is such an amazing ministry. It first started in California, and now we're in Illinois. And the whole, basically, vision of the ministry is we want to see a campus awakening to the love of Jesus Christ at every public high school. And so since 2004, the ministry has reached so many high schools within California and Illinois, and has even done short-term trips to other states. And the ministry is built upon empowering the Christian Club, empowering high school students from the Christian Club to actively share their faith on campus, and to have outreach events during lunchtime to invite the whole entire campus to come in and to hear the gospel message. And for some of these high school students, they've never heard the gospel before. They don't even know what John 3:16 is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so during these outreach events that we work tremendously hard to put on with the Christian Club, we invite the campus. And sometimes we have a turnout of 100 to 200 students that come into a gymnasium, or that flood the quad there on campus, and a speaker will come and share the gospel, how that we're all separated from God because of our sin, and that God in his loving mercy sent his son Jesus to take the sins of the world, and that anyone who would believe on Jesus and turn away from their sins and turn to Jesus would have everlasting life. And once we share that gospel message, we invite people to come forward and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, confessing, as it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, you will be saved. And so I just want to share just some really quick statistics, some updates of what the ministry has accomplished this past school year from 2016 to 2017. We've gone out 200, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was saying, okay, please do that quickly. Give us just a general idea.
Yes, absolutely. But just this year, 1,136 students have made decisions to receive Jesus.
Did you say just this year?
Yes, just this year. Just this year alone.
That's amazing. And how many outreaches did you say were done during that time in which those people received the Lord?
Yeah, 237 outreaches were done.
Oh, 237. Okay.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure that takes a lot of work, as you said. There are a lot of people involved. So you have your staff members, and also you must have auxiliary workers who contribute their time and energy into this work. And so they all deserve credit for this work that you're doing for the Lord. Because you're a team. You're all on the same team, working for the same cause. And I'd like to know if you would like to give your contact information for anyone who might be interested in getting involved with this ministry. Maybe there are some listening who would like to contribute. If not financing, maybe materials or transportation. If nothing else, then prayer. They can pray for your ministry, right? Which is so important, because how far can we get without prayer? And we can never have enough of it. Isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely. So if there's anyone out there that is interested in hearing more about the ministry, you can email me at jon.m@nationalschoolproject.com. Or if you'd like to take a look at our website, you can go on nationalschoolproject.com. And that is all one word. And if you'd feel led to support me as a missionary, you can contact me by email as well. And I'd love to give you more information and even put you on our prayer list as well. Thank you, Catherine.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to repeat that information for you. Your email, beginning with John, right?
Yes.
So J-O-N at CaliforniaSchoolProject.com. And the other is that correct?
No, let me add one correction. It's jon.m@nationalschoolproject.com.
Oh, okay. All right then. And the other, is this correct? nationalschoolproject.com/C as in Charles, S as in Sam, P as in Peter. Is that correct?
Yes, nationalschoolproject.com, C-O-M.
Okay, I'm looking at one of your cards. This may be an old one. At the end of that, there's a forward slash, and then three letters, C as in Charles, S as in Sam, P as in Peter. Should it end with .com?
Yes, it should end with .com. That's our general website for the ministry, so you're welcome to find out more through our general
very
website.
Good. Thank you so much, Jonathan. And now it's time for me to read the gospel message. And you're welcome to stay on until I finish the reading. If you need to leave now, please let me know. Would you like to stay on and read along with me the gospel message? Or would you like to say bye now?
Yes, I'd like to stay on. And
all right, very good.
Go ahead.
All right. I'd like to say a short prayer first, and thank you for continuing on with me, Jonathan. So I'd like to say, dear Lord Jehovah God, Christ Jesus, we submit ourselves to you wholly and completely, Lord, knowing that Satan must flee from us. And so we offer ourselves to you, Lord, as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you, Lord, which is our reasonable service of worship. And we renounce and reject and resist Satan and all evil in your name, Lord Christ Jesus. And so we ask you to please enlighten our minds and illuminate your word to us. Please help us understand your holy scriptures, Lord, and apply them to our daily lives. And so here now I'm going to read one chapter from the book of Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 10. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, no two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues and kings for my sake. Excuse me. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to be witnesses before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will raise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you have whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the habits of your head are all numbered. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than he is, more than me, is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And that's the 10th chapter of Matthew, the gospel message. And now, the word itself, the Lord tells us in the Bible that the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, has the power in itself unto salvation. So I'm not representing myself as a pastor or a theologian of any type. I'm just an ordinary person who wants to help share the good news of the gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, has commissioned each and every one of us as followers of Christ, as Christians, to help spread the good news of the gospel. He tells us to all the ends of the earth. And why not today? Using the internet and radio, when we can broadcast the message so that so many people can hear. I don't know who is listening or if anyone is listening. You and I may be the only two, Jonathan. But the Lord calls us to share the word, and hopefully someone will hear. And when we are on again every Thursday from 7 to 8, maybe more people will tune in and listen for the word of God. And so now, with a few minutes left in the program, I'd like to invite anyone who would like to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior to say this short prayer. Because all you need to do is confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, so we belong to him. So confess your sins and repent of them. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Trust by faith that Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt for your sins and rose again to give us eternal life. So I invite you to pray along with me in this way. Lord Jesus, I trust by faith that you are God. I trust by faith that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins and the sins of the world. And I trust by faith that you rose again from the dead. And by your resurrection, you give us the hope of eternal life. And Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I ask you to please come into my heart and be my Savior. Change my life. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus. I want to follow you. To ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, whiter than snow, and make me a new creation in you, Lord Christ Jesus. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, and I give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Father God, for sacrificing Jesus to die for me, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for willingly suffering and dying for me, and for allowing every last drop of your own precious blood to be shed for me on that cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, then you can trust, you can believe that you will be with Christ Jesus in heaven when your spirit leaves this earth, when you die, as we say. Now, what you should do, not that you need to do anything to be saved, you just received salvation by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God, which is unmerited favor, unearned favor, and by your faith in Jesus Christ. But now, as a follower of Christ, you should want to serve him. We want to serve the Lord Jesus. So you should join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Join a Bible study and be with other people who are seeking the Lord and who can help you, so that you can encourage each other and learn along with them. You can develop your personal, intimate relationship with the Lord by reading his word, spending time with him, and being in fellowship with other people who are studying his word and living it out. We need to read the Bible and do what it says, and pray to him every day, talking to him from your heart, and then tell other people what you've done. And that's giving your testimony. And tell them what the Lord Jesus is doing in your life. Please tell other people the good news of the gospel so that they also can be saved. Thank you for tuning in. Again, you're listening to The Sword and Shield Show. My guest tonight is Jonathan Mestas, and I apologize, Jonathan, for misspelling your last name. It should be M-E-S-T-A-S. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. No problem.
I apologize.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome. I apologize for leaving out that first S. And so now I'd like to invite you, Jonathan, to pray a short prayer before I close. Would you take maybe 60 seconds or so and pray for whatever is on your heart? For whatever is on your heart. Please go ahead.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, but we thank you for today, Lord. I pray for all those who are listening, Lord Jesus, that you would touch their heart, and that those who have prayed that prayer by faith, turning to you, turning away from their sin, and turning to you, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them all the days of their life, Lord. And we pray for the youth of America and for the rest of the world, Lord. They are the future of the church, and they are the future leaders. And we pray for them, Lord Jesus, that the enemy would not have a hold of their life, Lord, but you would reach out from heaven and save them, Lord, and that you would lead us day by day and step by step to follow you truly, Lord Jesus, and to worship you, and to let go of all things that fade away, Lord, because you, Jesus, are eternal, and we will be with you eternally in heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Jonathan. And now I'd like to share a little more about the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he said that he needed to go to the Father, so then the Father could send someone else to be our comforter, our teacher, and our guide, and that is the Holy Spirit. And he is the one, the Lord tells us, who gives us those gifts of the Spirit that we are to use to help others, just as Jonathan is using his gift of teaching and evangelism, working with students throughout the country in public schools as a missionary. He is actually a domestic missionary here at home in the United States. Each one of you who receives the Lord, of course, we all have skills and gifts and talents, but we're talking about spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us once we receive him as Savior. Whatever gift you have that you can share with other people is a blessing to them. When you bless others, you're serving the Lord. And again, as I said earlier, we have a responsibility to discover those gifts, to find out what our gifts are that we can use to serve the Lord by serving other people. And we know that in the Bible, again, in Matthew 20 through 26 and 27, it talks about the way to receive honor from God is by being a faithful servant of Christ and not by worldly prominence, not by being famous for doing other things that culture or tradition or the philosophy of men, as the Lord tells us in the Bible, would rate us as someone who is special, but by being servant of Christ. And so I want to leave you with that thought. We need to pray for our country. And so I'm asking you, Lord, in Christ Jesus' name, to bless our country, to bless our leaders, our president, our teachers, women in leadership, as well as men, for our pastors, all the missionaries, Lord, all the clergy, all the lay people who are following you, everyone who's willing to serve you, Lord, we ask for your blessings on them. And all of those who are refusing to receive you, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to draw them to you and save them. We ask this for all the adults as well as the children, every boy and girl, and we will keep them in prayer, asking you to bless our land and heal it. So until next time, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're about to sign off. So I hope that you will tell others about the Sword and Shield Show and that we're here to praise and honor God. We'll be on every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. And in the future, we will be taking prayer requests. So again, thank you for tuning in. Please tell others about the show. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Thank you again so much, Jonathan. It was my pleasure to have you be a guest on my show. And so good night, and I hope to see you soon. Good night, everyone. May God bless you.